Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 90.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, introduction for what's happened over the weekend, a historical moment happened as after 232 years, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson became the first black woman confirmed to the US Supreme Court. And we're going to catch up a yarn now and talk to Leah Cameron from Murra Law and talk about this space. And the title is Diversity on the Bench. And diversity it is. Leah Cameron, good morning, my sister. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. I'm really well, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, look, I'm a Palawa woman from Lutruwita, which is Tasmania, and I'm down here at the moment, and it's a little bit fresh, but beautiful.
Well, I'm sitting with a single pair of football shorts, so we're all good up here in far north Queensland.
I bet. Showing those legs off.
So let's talk about this beautiful action that just happened. Fantastic. First black woman confirmed in the US Supreme Court.
Absolutely. You know, incredible historic moment. I can't believe this is, you know, happening now. It's taken a long time, but wow. And, you know, what does it mean for Australia? That's the big question.
Yes. So,
but it's all good things, I think.
Well, why is it important to have diversity within the courts?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look, you know, from my perspective, you know, there's a couple of reasons. Ideally, you know, our courts should reflect the population, which includes, you know, our diversity, including race and gender. Mm. But to date, no person of colour has actually been appointed to the highest court of Australia, which is the High Court.
Yes.
You know, which is incredible with us having the oldest living culture in the world. This is a huge gap, you know. And look, we've got numbers of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lawyers and students coming through the system, which is great. But a study of law grads in 2019 found that less than 1% identified as our mob, and so we've got a lot of work to do. But to your question, why is it important to have that diversity? Look, the community has to have trust in the law and the legal system for it to work effectively. You know, and it has to, you know, the law has to be exercised in a way that reflects the understanding of the community in which it exists. So if judges, lawyers, you know, et cetera, don't share the diverse lived experience of the community, it's really difficult, if not impossible, to create that fundamental trust and mutual understanding.
Well, if you're talking diversity,
but
if you're talking diversity, it then creates, no trust, and if not, racism, if diversity is not at the table.
Absolutely. It's that institutional, you know, racism that's, you know, just always simmering away. And so that's why we need our mob everywhere to represent different viewpoints and lived experiences. And look, it's better for everyone.
And look, we as Australia, we look to America, don't we, in regard to, you know, actions on a pathways to the future. And so if we've got a black woman confirming the US Supreme Court, it leaves the door open, if not a prime minister, a black prime minister, as in you know, having Obama there, it just opens up the door and the possibilities or the what if, yes?
Absolutely. And look, it just makes people think, as you say, you know, of the possibilities and what more can we do here to improve the diverse representation, you know, in courts and, you know, in other roles in our justice system.
Yeah, so is there anything that we can do as a community to make a change, you reckon?
Yeah, look, it is, I suppose, difficult to see how this will change without our community's voice. You know, in legislating, interpreting and enacting our laws. So those changes all take time, but there can be things, you know, that we can do now to support and build momentum. So we can do things like building the number of our mob, you know, students entering the legal profession, you know, and becoming lawyers. And, you know, showcasing their success, whether it's as solicitors or academics or in whatever role they're in. We can, you know, have mentoring programs. I've been the beneficiary of incredible mentors throughout my study and career.
Black and white?
You know, absolutely. And, you know, they've really given me a hand up to where I am today, and that's a crucial role. And, you know, other members of the profession, non-Indigenous too, can really help our mob expand beyond those traditional areas where we get pigeonholed, like criminal and family law. You know, our mob are out there doing business.
Yes.
You know, and doing it exceptionally well. And we need commercial lawyers out there, you know, really, you know, paving the way. And they're the ones, you know, where we need judicial appointments.
Exactly.
It's interesting, in the UK, they've got a slightly different model. They have what's called a Judicial Appointments Commission, and they're responsible for selecting candidates for judicial offices. And that selection process is based on the premise that the judiciary should reflect society. So in that process, they involve, you know, a cross-section of community, which is fantastic, and we've seen great changes, you know, across the UK because of that. So that's a small step we could do, but, you know, it's a long way for us as we are now.
Well, we haven't even got a treaty here, for example, you know what I mean? So it is a long way. And then to have a black woman confirmed, a judge at that, confirmed in U.S. Supreme Court, and you as a black lawyer, motivational, inspirational for yourself, and whether or not you want to be in that position, but just to drive your business forward, yes?
Absolutely. You know, there are, you know, phenomenal role models in the space. And look, Judge... But, you know, in this particular case, Judge Jackson was already a leader in her field and was already doing exceptionally well. So I think we just need to highlight, you know, in all different professions, those of us that are doing really well, highlight the role models out there. And, you know, the wider community need to acknowledge that, yes, we are really good at what we do and we are worthwhile promoting into those positions. But it's hard to break down what those traditional moulds look like. You know, I'm sure there is, you know, underlying fear in some instances. So we just need to keep pushing forward. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
But it sure is an incredible inspiration this week.
Well, success breeds success and inspiration. And if you've got a young black lawyer just going through their exams in university at the moment, then to hear that there's a black woman confirmed in the US Supreme Court, that's the focus there. That's the motivation right there to pick up the book, head down, butt up, and continue on, yes?
Absolutely. It's a hard slog, but you'll get there, that's for sure.
Fantastic. Before we leave you, Leah, thank you very much. Who's Marua Law?
Marua Law, Trev, is an Indigenous legal practice, a certified Indigenous legal practice, and we specialise in commercial property and Indigenous law for all sorts of people, including mob across the country. So if you've got a legal question, give us a call on 07-4041-3088. We'll try and help you as best you can, or we'll try and find another lawyer who can if we can't.
Beautiful. Nice chatting with you, Leah. All the best to your team, your family. Stay safe. We'll yarn soon, sister.
Thanks, Trev. Have a great day.
Bye, darling. A beautiful yarn there. That's Leah Cameron, principal solicitor, lawyer there with Marua Law. And we're just talking about the historical moment that happened after 232 years. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson became the first black woman confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court. And talking to a black lawyer there, black female lawyer of this country, was fired up and excited about that, running her own business, Marua Law. And just to good have that conversation and empower our mob out there who are in university and studying, or if you're not studying, maybe you want to study, there's the motivation in that, you know. Build it and they will come, that's the old saying, but success breeds success. Have you say Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
There's the dream and there's the vision. Thank you. what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Maka Ran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First National Radio Station here in Cairns in your Dingy country. Hope you're well. You Mob having a deadly weekend, Easter weekend, and look, stay safe. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. And big shout out to Mob across the deadly country of ours. We're going to catch up a yarn now with deadly brother Raymond Weatherall down there in Sydney. Goomeroi Mob are in court with the joint mining company Santos. Just to touch base with Raymond as a traditional owner there and find out how they're travelling. Raymond, very good morning. How are you, brother?
Oh, very good, thank you, brother. Just want to pay my respects to all of the people out there across our beautiful country from all nations. Stay strong and stay black.
Too deadly, my brother. And before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Raymond.
So I'm a Goomeroi follower of that. I'm in our country. I was born in Collarinnabri. My family stretches all through there through different clan groups, Gidigadu, Birriger, Calvin, Goodigal. My blood ties go out to Yirralarai Nation as well and Murawari.
Too deadly, my brother. Now, understanding Goomeroi mob are in court with the joint mining company Santos. 3 days conversations going on in court there. How are you travelling? Light at the end of the tunnel. How does it look, my brother?
Well, as most black fellas know, you know what I mean? The native title process, you've always got your back up against the wall, and I felt there were good points and bad points in regards to they put in a future act determination application last May, Santos did, amid the pandemic, and we thought that was quite unfair for them to... They pushed us to have a nation's meeting. That happened on the 21st to the 25th of March. We had a very strong no vote against the agreement that they proposed, which was 162-2 with 4 abstentions. Hopefully that carries a bit of weight in the court, but I mean, with the judge's comments in there, that they had a climate expert in there, and he made reference to saying so-called climate change. So that's sort of the general feeling that you're going to get from judges, and you know, who are pretty much saying they go in favour of proponents all of the time. Mining companies against our people, so we still, you know, hold the line, and we have faith. I mean, one thing that we always do as black people, you know, we never give up, and Goomeroi we'll fight to the bitter end.
Of course, brother. Yes, and your lawyers, they're communicating with you well, and have a plan of attack regarding what's put across the table.
Yeah. Well, we had lengthy discussions coming up to the court case with NTS Corp, as well as they got Tony McAvoy to run the case for us, and they sort of had a couple of their employees go up first, and Tony, he ran a relatively good case. I thought there were a few points that I thought that they could have asked more questions on when they were talking about but being at zero emissions by 2040 when they're proposing 850 gas wells in there, where with each of those gas wells there's a flame coming up out of the ground with methane gas going up into the atmosphere. So I can't see it.
And that's not good for global climate, is it? Yeah, that's not good for global climate, brother.
No, when they actually had a climate specialist, like there was a Professor Stefan who was in there who, through the Paris Agreement, he was explaining to them that, you know, it's pretty straightforward that these new proposals should not go forward.
Yeah.
And obviously with Scott Morrison, they've been pushing the gas-fired recovery now for about 18 months, 2 years, and, you know, I do think that they wrote a letter of in support of the gas project there. You know, so we got our backs to the wall, but we leave faith in there. I mean, the judge has got a lot of decisions, you know, a big decision to make in regards to this one here. I feel that it could be one of those cases where it'll give our people across the country inspiration in regards to saying yes. You know, you don't have to say that all of the time. You know, it's our land, and you know, for us to have that sustainable connection, spiritual connection to our land without it being dug up. And I mean, the concrete that they're going to put into the ground with these 850 gas wells, that's going to be there forever.
Yeah, exactly.
So the detrimental effect that could have, you know, in regards to our country as well as, you know, the Great Artesian Basin it sits on top of. Now, if anything goes wrong with that, that goes up into, you know, the Northern Territory, South Australia,
exactly.
You know, and Queensland. So you've got four states, but it's one of the biggest underground water reserves in the world.
Yes.
And they're pretty much playing with fire with doing that. And CSG, everybody knows that if you do a bit of homework on it, that it's detrimental to the environment as well as to, you know, the ecosystems that they build them on. So we as Gilroy with the Filliger Scrub, you know, it's right in the middle of our nation.
Yes.
And the stories that we have in regards to, you know, our law and ceremony that was done there, you know, from a lot of our neighbours as well that used to come there, you know, to do ceremony with us, and it was a part of us going through our Diriya Gabal, our law. So, of course, we knew that when they were going there, we had to, you know, fight and say no. And look, I'm an elected advocate for our group, and from the get-go, we had a consensus in our room that we had to negotiate with them, but we had a right to say no as well, and we said no, and obviously it went back to our nation, and they voted, you know, very strongly against it. So,
they had you at the table. They brought you the conversation, Raymond.
99% of decisions usually go for the proponent, but we hold faith within that. You can't give up, and like I said before, you know, every blackfellow that gets up out of bed in the morning, you know, or the leader goes out and fights for their land, they make that decision every day, and it's only because we want that for our grandchildren's grandchildren so that they can experience the same spiritual connection to our land as what we have.
You there, my brother?
Yes, I'm here, brother.
Yeah, continue that yarn. So in regards to the beginning of when the first sod was turned, were Gilroy mob at the table when the Santos first come to the table regarding mining?
Yeah, we were, because they obviously triggered native title rights because of the areas of land that they were proposing to put in Gatwell. So there was a negotiation, and then we had a bit of friction within our nation where we voted out the old applicants, and I got voted in 2016. That was sort of wasn't dealt with in the court. I was appealed, and then we were officially recognised in 2018. So from that time, we've been negotiating with them. So I had the feeling back then that they didn't really want to negotiate with us because they'd already been negotiating with the old applicants.
Yes.
And they sort of just wanted to do the 6 months with us under the Future Act determination. 6 months you have to, and then you can take it to the federal court. But I think that COVID sort of put that on the back burner for them. But last year, even during the pandemic, they pushed for it. And
so COVID-19 worked for them, didn't it?
Yeah, so what had happened too was we had a big outbreak in New South Wales again around that time, you know, around March.
Yes.
Where they pushed the most vulnerable people in the country in regards to chronic disease and those type of things, health issues, to the table so that our nation would come together. Now, we had a person who actually tested positive at the meeting, but they still decided to go ahead with it. And obviously, as I said before, you know, we voted 162-2 with the agreement. It was a terrible, you know, in regards to the amount of money that they were offering us. You know, we thought as good boy people, I mean, it worked out, I think it was about 10 or 15 bucks or something like that, each person, you know, over, you know, each year over 25 years, which is it's not going to help anybody. And they're going to make millions and billions of dollars off it.
Exactly.
And the one thing that the gas market in Australia, they don't really need new gas. They've got enough, you know what I mean, with servicing houses now. So we believe that even though they've said they weren't going to, I believe that they're going to send some of it overseas. There's a market there, I think, in Korea, where they're willing to buy, you know, gas from Australia or other countries.
What's your outcome, Raymond? Where do you want it to all end up? What's your thought and your dream in regard to the process?
Me personally, brother, I want them out of our land. I mean, look back in before they went to Narrabri, they went out to Terryhio. That's a very significant area for Gilroy people as well. And when they came there, myself and a few other people, we actually kicked them off there. And Katrina Humphreys, who was the mayor of Moree at the time, they actually voted the next day to say that they didn't want CSG in Moree Shire at all. So they went to Narrabri and they were accommodated down there through the Shire and other entities that are there. So they sort of started their plans, and that's where the negotiation part happened. And it's come to this point now where we've sort of been forced into, you know, a quarter in regards to going to the National Native Title Tribunal, and that happened over the last 3 days. I mean, sitting through it and listening for 3 days, it was up and down. You know, it was like a heartbeat on a machine, where, you know, it was just And you're feeling the emotion of what's going to happen because you listen to the wording and stuff like that where they're talking about, you know, you have their lawyer talking about mythological and the judge himself saying so-called climate change. So this is the attitude of their lawyer as well as the judge who's presiding over the matter. It's quite unacceptable, but that's, you know, the systems that we have to go into as Aboriginal people where they talk about how song, dance and our story as being mythological, whereas we know it's true.
So the fight is still on, my brother. And how many at the table in regard to the TOs? And you said you've been appointed to come to the table. How many representing?
We've got 18 there.
Okay,
but, representative of our people, yeah. And we go back to the nation with everything that we discuss there,
yes.
obviously. And, you know, and then obviously the judge has got to come up with a decision whether. We go back to negotiate with them for another 6 months. Well, then that might happen as well. But at the moment, we're just waiting for the court. I mean, there was one decision in there where Santos actually went to the landowners of the Narrabri Shire and said that to them that they had the right to veto it, whereas under the Native Title Act, as Aboriginal people, we're not allowed to veto it.
Exactly.
You know, it's very discriminatory in regards to that law, and They're going to discuss that next week, and we'll see how it goes then. But I've got faith. I mean, we had a few good witnesses for us.
And your ancestors are with you, brother. Your ancestors are with you, brother.
Yeah, and I thank you too, brother, for giving me the opportunity to speak on the NOIRS. We have Black Cat down here with Lola, and you come on a few times, and that's how I listen to those programs.
Yes, my brother. Well, it's a voice for our people, brother, and we need to have those conversations, and we've got the tool available. And government, as well as all Australians, black and white, need to know what's happening in the space. And great to have you on the program here, Raymond, and fighting for your mob there. And we are resilient people, and we're not going nowhere, brother.
No, we are, brother. And look, I just want to say that over the past 4 months, myself, Bo Spearham, young Ian Brown, my cousin Linda Whitten, had a few other people. Pete Skewthorpe is another one. And a good ally of ours, Paddy Gibson, who works at Jumbunna. They've actually, we've had some good conversations with the with the unions, and the unions have signed up on something last week, the MUA, and also we had the ETU at a protest that we had outside the Federal Court in Sydney last Friday, where they've come on board with the Goomera, and they're going to back us, and they're going to ask their union members not to work on the project in future if it does go ahead. So we do have that back against support as well, and I want to give a thank you to Ed Collins for coming on board with us, because we do need all support to stop it.
It's a team effort, brother. It's a team effort, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, brother. Look, beautiful talking with you, Raymond. Thank you for sharing, but we'll be in touch, my brother. And we'll yarn as we come in closer to the end of the court, and hopefully a decision coming your way, my brother.
Thank you very much, my brother, for getting me on, and I hope we do talk in the future about better things.
We will, Raymond. All the best, and big shout out there, Goomeroi mob, and keep the fight strong, brother.
Thank you, brother. You have a good day.
Take care. Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there, and that's Raymond Weatherall, and representative is Goomeroi man, representing Goomeroi mob there in court with the joint mining company Santos. And 3 days in court now, but it's not finished, continuing on. And we'll watch this space very closely. Too Deadly, National Talk Black, here live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM.
thoughts within, visions I see, daring to dream my destiny. So much sorrow, heartache we have, as we comfort our children, when they shed a tear. We must stand strong, stand tall, when your back's against the wall. Gotta look deep within yourself, gotta rise above it all. When no one's there to comfort you, gotta push your fears aside. Rely on your inner strength, find a sense of pride. You gotta find, and with hope in our hearts, so as our fight's not in vain, must look to our elders to ease all the pain. For tomorrow is near, and we must stand as one. Together, united, under one sun. Against the wall, gotta look deep within yourself, gotta rise above it all. When no one's there to comfort you, gotta push your fears aside. Rely on your inner strength, find a sense of pride.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 90.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Anthony McLeod, head of auction operations. That's Lloyd's Auctions and Food Bank in regarding joint venture in helping flood victims desperate for drinking water. On the line, Anthony. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important space that you're working in and joint venture with Food Bank in regarding looking after constituents after the floods. And they were talking about desperate for drinking water. Tell us what you guys are doing there, please.
That's correct, Trevor. Thank you. Basically, a local Queensland business went into liquidation late last year. They were a drinking water production business, and they used to bottle their own water in their facility. So when we were called in to start selling all of their equipment, they, you know, the floods were going on here in the local area and also in northern New South Wales. Mm. And so they decided, hey, Lloyd's, is there anything you guys can do to get drinking water out to the local community for free? Because we want to support these local communities that are struggling.
And so there it is, coming to the table, operating with Food Bank. And tell us that connection there, please.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, we're an auction company, so we're not exactly equipped to sort of jump straight out into the community and distribute these sorts of resources. So Food Bank came on. They were quick to come onto the scene and give us a hand. So they've come onto a joint venture with us. We are distributing the water completely for free to these communities that are affected. And basically, we've got over 17,000 litres of bottled water, and that's what we're going to be distributing out to the families and the communities affected by these recent floods.
Look, it's a hand up and look very well needed in regard to the flood victims, and that's what we operate in. But we come together as one, don't we, Australians, when stuff like this happens, doesn't it, Anthony?
We really do, and that's one thing that Lloyd's prides itself on, is we're all about people, and we're all about giving back to the communities that when they're in need. And so, you know, Food Bank have also sort of said that this is going to take some time to restore the drinking water to these communities. I mean, everyone hears floods and they think, oh, there's a lot of water around, why do they need water now?
Yeah.
But the water's really quite dirty after a flood, as many people would know, and it requires sanitation and cleaning. So that's a process that takes time. And so this drinking water, it being distributed like this, is really going to cause that, or give us some relief.
And a process could be as long as 12 months, you were saying, yep?
That's correct, yeah. Food Bank are telling us it could take 12 months to 2 years to get this, to get this, the stock levels replenished.
And so that's a message going out to all flood victims as well, only drink bottled water at this point in time, of course.
100%. That is definitely the advice. Drink bottled water wherever you can until the water sanitation gets back under control.
Look, it's a good news story. It's sad that's what has happened, and prayers and thoughts go out to flood victims. But here we are operating together, Lloyd's Auction and Food Bank, and delivering water out there to the people that need it. But thank you for your yarn, and all the best to Food Bank and Lloyd's Auctions. And good yarning with you, Anthony. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much, Trevor. You have a wonderful day.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
A deadly yarn there. Anthony McLeod, his name is, and he's head of auction operations, and they're delivering coincide with Food Bank joint venture there. 17,000 litres of water, bottled water, to flood victims, and it's a team effort. And like as he mentioned, that when the floods do happen, then the water does get dirty and not safe to drink. So we need to be drinking out of bottled water. And with a company that's going down in liquidation, pardon the pun, unfortunately, auctioneers, Lloyd's Auctions, had joined up with Food Bank regarding getting the 17,000 litres of water that's left with the company to deliver to the flood victims for free. So that's fantastic. And we're all working together, making it all happen. Have your say in Yarnup Strong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.